Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Honasa Consumer Q3 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by JM Financial Institutional Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rajat Gupta from JM Financial. Thank you, and over to you.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the 3Q FY26 earnings conference call of Honasa Consumer Limited. Today, on call, we have Mr. Varun Alagh, Co-founder, Chairman, and Chief Executive Officer, Ms. Ghazal Alagh, Co-founder and Chief Innovation Officer, and Mr. Ramanpreet Sohi, Chief Financial Officer. I now hand over the call to Mr. Varun for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Hi, thank you so much, and thanks, everyone, for joining. Welcome to the Q3 FY26 update for Honasa Consumer Private Limited. As is customary, we'll start by sharing a key trend that we have been witnessing in the beauty and personal care industry, which is the trend in men's skincare. We believe men's skincare is at an inflection driven by evolving consumer preferences. Men's grooming has been talked about for quite a long time, but we saw, at least in the last decade, largely action on the shaving or beard care side. Last 2 years, we've specifically been noticing a strong inclination towards skincare, which is specifically designed for men. We've seen these specifically in the search data that we track. In the sunscreen category, consumers are specifically searching for sunscreen for men. In our face cleanser category, they're searching for face wash for men. And this for men callout has been increasing multifold over the last 2-3 years. We've also seen a significant increase in male skincare influencers, almost 6 times in the last 5 years. All of this is happening because of rapid premiumization, awareness, and evolving self-care mindset. And this is making us feel that this is an interesting space which will get shaped and will grow really well. And this is also a space where Honasa has made an acquisition that we will talk about during the course of the presentation, which is Reginald Men. But over to this quarter's financial snapshot, I'm delighted to share that we have delivered our highest-ever quarterly revenue. The company has grown by 21.7% in terms of revenue growth. This is also led by volume. Our UVG is at 30% growth. It's our highest-ever EBITDA, which has also sequentially grown. We've almost doubled our PAT, which is, again, our highest-ever PAT. And we continue to be negative on our working capital cycle. So the core engines that we have been talking about for the last 3 quarters, the flywheel around making our core stronger, which is Mamaearth, that's back into teens YoY growth, and continuing strength of our young brands, which are now growing at 25%+ in terms of growth, has led to us delivering this competitive market-leading growth for us. And also, in line with the scale as well as the effectiveness coming in our marketing, we've consistently seen improving EBITDA margin trajectory for the company, which we have been talking about and have been able to deliver. If we sort of, again, call out, we had mentioned this in the last quarterly meeting as well, that there is a revenue recognition impact which has happened on account of Flipkart Group changing their revenue recognition norms, because of which there is a 28 crore impact that we are seeing. But if you also correct for bases, then the growth continues to be at a 21% level. And like-to-like, like just said, it's 21.7. If you were to see hence reported numbers, we've delivered 602 crores in terms of reported revenue. EBITDA is at 10.9%, the same 66 crores. This revenue recognition impact has not led to any impact on bottom lines. It's just a recognition impact that we see in our revenues. Double-clicking on the business, I think from a channel perspective, what is heartening to see now is that all the channels are actually doing quite well. E-commerce is at a 20%+ growth. Modern trade and GT now is also delivering 25%+ growth. These are offtake growths and secondary growths, which is a great sign of the brand traction. Our strategy of focusing on our focus categories has also clearly paid off. Our focus categories continue to grow ahead of the company's overall growth numbers at 25%+. These are the categories which are getting 90%+ of our investments. We continue to focus on strengthening our share in these categories. Mamaearth, which is back to teens growth, it's taken some time, but focus on fundamentals has really helped us deliver this. Started with superior market-beating formulations. We have consistently been talking about how we've been increasing and improving our formulations to deliver blind test winning formulations across our products. We've also worked a lot on our communications to make them more aspirational to the new Gen Z consumer. We have focused our investments in the six focus categories that we have identified for Mamaearth. A combination of this is that we are now back to double-digit growth, right? We are winning in our value share as well as share among sandlers. Share among sandlers actually has moved ahead of our value share, which means that now we have more catch-up job to do on our distribution front. If you do that will give further growth in the offline ecosystem as well. As we do that, we are also building other categories like moisturizers, offline. Our young brands, of course, continue to sustain their momentum. We've launched with focus on hair color, Aqualogica, with moisturizers and mists being new categories. Dr. Sheth's with premium serums, which we are shaping. Staze, which has now crossed 50 crores ARR and continues to grow well. Of course, the star in this portfolio continues to be Derma Co, which is continuing to not only deliver strong growth, but has also achieved a double-digit EBITDA profile now in this quarter. The brand continues to drive innovation across categories. We have entered haircare with peptides and reflectives. Our sunscreen formulations have become even better with new generation filters like Tinosorb and Metrosil. Consumer interest, of course, continues to be strong in our core categories, which is demonstrated with the searches and the share gain that we are seeing on the brand. Continued successful momentum on Derma Co. Another area of focus in the last four quarters, of course, has been offline execution, where clearly our shift to direct distribution has started to pay off strongly. Our outlet reach has expanded. Our direct distribution contribution has expanded to almost 80% revenue contribution now. Our weighted distributions are healthy. Our inventory holding days are now optimized at about 30 days, which is fairly healthy for a complex inventory system like ours. In modern trade also, we continue to build reach and outlet presence. This is an account of the offtakes that the brand sees and the share gain that the brands are seeing. All in all, offline is in healthy shape and ready to service the brands and growth trajectory in future as well. We continue to invest in product renovation and innovation. Again, we have got multiple new formulations which have delivered blind test winning performance with international leading brands and their core partitions. We are very happy to see the performance that these products continue to deliver and what our R&D team continues to deliver. And this is a continuous process, not a one-time activity. And it's a muscle that we have built, and we keep deploying these muscles to make our products even better for our consumers as we move forward. And I think, from a future perspective, and what we talked about, we keep looking at white spaces in the landscape and keep building hypotheses around those white spaces. And sometimes we come across the brands which completely fit into those hypotheses. And I think Reginald Men has been one of those brands which completely fit into our male skincare boom hypothesis. And the brand has done extremely well in the last 2 years of its existence and become the most searched men's sunscreen brand based on a multi-benefit proposition which men like. They don't want to get into multi-regime, but products which can do multiple things in one. And also helps us enhance our presence in South India. Since we've not only acquired a brand, but acquired a talent and a team which sits out of Hyderabad and continues to run this brand, which will help us strengthen our understanding of the region as well as find ways to strengthen our brands in that region. Us being a North Indian company, get that slight disadvantage in terms of the talent that we're able to get here. But now, having presence in Hyderabad, we'll actually be able to hire and attract more talent, which can help us strengthen our presence in South India. And it also, of course, is additive to Honasa's portfolio, where we did not have any brand that was focusing on men's skincare. So all in all, pretty excited about this acquisition. I think overall, we've been focusing on refreshing our playbook, right, or flywheel, so to say. And we are feeling quite confident that now the principles that we have come up with, which start by focusing on identifying the right partition, building a product which is a blind test winner in that partition, focusing then on investing sufficiently behind that hero product, through the right content and media mixes, and providing it a distribution supercharge across both e-commerce, quick commerce, as well as offline landscape, followed by, again, keeping an eye open for future growth engines where we can deploy the same cycle, is giving us strong confidence that we'll be able to sustainably use this cycle to deliver market-beating growth and gain share across categories of our interests as we move forward. Of course, we continue to build purposeful brands which not only grow but also contribute to the society. Mamaearth has now planted over 1 million trees. On its birthday this year, we ran anti-smog guns across NCR to help reduce pollution. Dermaco continues to educate children through science classes and science labs that we set up. We have touched almost 40,000 students' lives. Be Blunt continues to certify women in hair care and styling, over 15,000 done. Aqualogica is providing fresh water to rural households by deploying plants where they can get access to fresh water. And Dr. Chef is running health checkup camps, and now almost 45,000 plus individuals touched by this. So all in all, as our brands grow, the contribution to community also grows, and that's what we would like to sign off with. And we're more than happy to answer the questions that you have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take our first question from the line of Abneesh Roy from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Thanks. My first question is in sunscreens. We have seen the market leader become a bit more aggressive past few months. How has been the market share? And I'm asking about the real market share in your sense, not the official third-party market share data, because that may not give the true picture many times. What is the sense on how is the market share shaping up in sunscreen?
So honestly, there is no other indicator of market share that we get for online. The only place that we get is from Nielsen, which is offline. And honestly, we believe 60 to 70% of the market lies in online. We did get a Euromonitor indication last year, which has declared that Dermaco is now the number one sunscreen brand in the country, ahead of the legacy brands. And so that's one external piece of data which is based on external interviews that we have. And otherwise, our brands continue to be strong. Our brands continue to be bestseller across sort of platforms. And focused on using multiple brands to win in the sunscreen portfolio, where we have something in actives, in Dermaco, in hydration, in Aqualogica, and naturals with Mamaearth, continues to be an area which is delivering well for us.
So thanks. My last question is, it was a strong quarter for you, and even your core brand of Mamaearth has seen good growth come back. Your distribution expansion also has been quite decent. So my question is, how do you see coming quarters, this kind of a good uptrend will continue, or there was some kind of a one-off, any GST kind of a positive impact you saw overall in the quarter?
We're feeling quite confident that our flywheel and our fundamentals have started to clearly deliver in terms of strong outcomes for the company, both in terms of top line and bottom line. And we are very confident that this trend delivering strong growth and continuing to improve on our margin profile year on year is something that will continue. We don't think it's a one-off GST impact. It's actually share gain that we have seen that we can also we've also shared. So if it was not share gain driven, then one could have said all tides are everyone's rising because tides are. But we have seen strong share gains in our core categories, right, which clearly points to the fact that we have done significantly better than other brands, which is why this has happened. And the playbook and investment sort of, playbook that we have built around media and content continues to become even better. So I think we're feeling quite confident on being able to continue this trajectory.
So thanks. That's all from my side. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Vivek Maheshwari from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, Varun and team. A few questions. So first, continuing with the earlier one. So, teams growth in case of Mamaearth, basically you are saying this is something that we can build for the next for the next 5 quarters until FY27 end.
Vivek, that's going to be our plan, we're feeling confident that we should be able to deliver the same. There is so much opportunity, like I said, in terms of just the gap between share among handlers and market share, and hence the potential distribution gain that we can do, as well as the brand now strengthening, and multiple other categories available where we can gain share. And, so I think we are feeling confident that we should be able to continue with this momentum and this
Got it. Interesting. And, for the last few quarters and more specifically this quarter, you have been, highlighting and talking a lot about distribution, right? Now, Varun, historically, there has been a curve that you have followed. And again, I'm just, putting some, random numbers, so to speak. But let's say if at 500 crores you started going online and you thought that you will go online, do you think that milestone or that threshold comes down because your distribution network is far more robust, so therefore, you don't necessarily have to wait for 500 crores, you can start early? And if so, what does that imply for the growth brands?
Vivek, to be honest, I don't think that milestone has changed significantly. What I can qualify is that it's not a brand size milestone, but more of a category into brand milestone, right? So, I mean, if you are in a category and you become sizable share within that category, even if you're not 500 crores, but let's say if you're in sunscreen and you become 200 crores just in sunscreen online, then also you have right to go into offline. But the offline play for brands in our mind is not just about distribution, it's also about pull. And only when you reach a certain scale in online that you see that natural pull in offline, right? Because of which you are able to then execute better, right? I mean, now when Derma Co was taken offline, actually our retail margins in Derma Co are lower than what the retail margins in Mamaearth are, because it has gone offline when we have already established Mamaearth, right? And the Derma Co pull was also established, right? So it allows you to build the brand more effectively, as well as it allows you to build more confidence amongst retailers. So in my mind, those benchmarks haven't changed. In fact, in future, those benchmarks might go up because the online market itself is expanding. And what you can achieve in online in terms of benchmarks, and every 3 to 5 years, that benchmark itself will keep increasing.
Wow, that's interesting, Varun, because I thought, the entire thing about traditional FMCG companies always was that, there is a massive pull, let's say, for their hero brands and products, which is significant to the overall revenues. And then, they will push, or the new brands will ride on the pull factor. So there is a pull, and then you have a push. I would have imagined with Mamaearth also, having so much pull, you could have probably accelerated that migration or, that duality, but you don't think that's going to be the case. Because just sheerly because your distribution quality and scale has gone up. Yeah.
Yeah, we can, if we want, we can put it in stores, right? But that doesn't really help, right? Just today's consumer is got multiple sort of choices in every category. I mean, 10 to 15 years ago also, that phenomena wasn't as diverse, right? And they largely know what they want to buy. So just because the brand is available in stores, it doesn't give the brand a right to win in offline. In our view, brands will win when they have created traction and pull, and that takes its own journey. And if you've not been able to establish it in online, then ideally, one shouldn't extend it on offline, because you will just create high STRs for the brand. And in general, your retailers and distributors' capital will get stuck in wrong kind of inventory, which is not moving, which will not allow you to put the right kind of inventory which can move faster. So we are being very choiceful, and we are taking care of the fact that there should be high velocity SKUs which should be put into GT. And even in Derma Co, it's only set of 20 SKUs that we've taken into offline, which are the highest velocity SKUs. And so I think that's our philosophy. We'll continue to execute like that.
Got it. And last question, which has, two parts, both from a top line and margin perspective. And I'm sure you will say that market has always been competitive. But, Varun, when we talk to the traditional legacy FMCG companies, I think there is a renewed focus and impetus to drive growth in online because quick commerce and, whatever is happening on the landscape. So two parts. One is, how do you think about the entire competitive intensity from your growth perspective, as well as from a margin standpoint? Because, a lot of companies are happy to spend much more to drive growth. So can you just, talk about both these aspects?
I'm happy to address that, Vivek. I mean, honestly, this focus change and aggression has been there for now 6+ quarters, I think. where it was clearly recognized and a lot of folks restructured and clearly announced their focus to build this and also have used multiple levers, including deep discounting, etc., in these channels to drive sales. And in spite of that, we have seen our trajectories only improving. As we also build the organization, I think our DNA, the fact that we are digital-first, right, our understanding of Gen Z content engines and the way the organization is tuned towards that will always provide an edge in terms of us being able to be faster in terms of winning in that environment. And we are feeling confident that if we could ride the aggression which has been there in the last 1 year, even if it goes up, I don't think anything is going to stop our plans of performance. We'll continue to find ways to ensure that we are ahead of the curve.
Super. Thank you. Wishing you and your team all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Percy from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Hi, Varun and team. Congrats on a great set of numbers. I just wanted to sort of zoom in into the margin delivery. So the margin has come at the cost of some cut in the ad spend, and even other expenditure is on the lower side. Just wanted to understand, is there any quarterly phasing issue or whatever reductions that we have seen are sort of structural in nature and likely to continue?
Hi, Percy. So I think I've always called out that there are three key buckets from which the company will see EBITDA expansion happening both in short and in long term. So those buckets are A&P leverage, those buckets are payroll leverage, and other OpEx leverage. And the combination and contribution from these three might vary in different years. But these are the three key buckets that we know and our leverage will come from. And even this quarter, if you look at just the A&P part, actually value A&P sequentially has gone up. And hence, it's not a reduction. We continue to be strong. We continue to be fully funding our brand and marketing plans. But we've become more effective. And the same plans focused on certain core categories consistently and focused on sharper media and messaging and are now delivering much better outcomes, right? Because of which the percentage is going down. And of course, there are quarter-to-quarter phasing pieces also which continue to sort of exist, but I wouldn't honestly worry them because if there is phasing in one, in the other buckets, you can see that sort of benefit that can come in. But all in all, and I think that trajectory of A&P in value actually increasing everywhere, but still giving us leverage benefits in percentage, right, is something that we are confident will keep happening every year, as well as the combination of payroll and other OpEx, right, sometimes because of others and sometimes because of payroll, will continue to give us that benefit year-on-year, right, is how we see that panel.
And how do we look at margins going forward, like in FY27 on a full year basis? Should we look at 100 basis points YOY expansion every year for next 2-3 years? Is that like a fair expectation for us to have?
Yes, Percy, that's a fair expectation, right? That's the plan that we have talked about in the past as well, right? That every year our goal will be to improve the margin profile by 100 basis points.
Got it. Second question is on the newer brand. So we know that Derma Co is doing very well. Can you give some information on Aqualogica? Is that doing equally well? Are the growth rates similar, lower, higher, etc.? And also related question is that now that we have the ME portfolio back on track on growth, what could be the next Dermaco or Aqualogica? Like, we have now three brands which probably constitute 90-95% of our sales, and while there is still scope for growth in Dermaco and Aqualogica, we obviously have to build ahead of time. So what can be the fourth pillar apart from these three brands where you can see some initial signs of success, or which you think can sort of become big or drive growth over the next 2-3 years, where you have confidence?
Firstly, on the first part of the question, I think we always talk about our young brands together. So the young brands have delivered 25% plus growth, right? And we continue to be very bullish on the future of our younger brands. And, from a perspective of what would be the next rising star, honestly, it's a race to be the next rising star. I mean, Reginald can itself be a 500 crore brand in the next 4 to 5 years that we have acquired. Dr. Sheth has a very strong sort of right to win, like the tailwinds and actives as well. And be blunt, and in professional hair care can become, you know, a sizable opportunity. Stays, it is a young brand, and but is playing in the color cosmetics business, which itself is a very large category, and could also be a shining star. So I think in our view, Rahinda, there is a race to become who will be the next 500 crores, and we would like to see that happen.
Very clear.
If I can just ask one
follow
up on this,
sorry, you're sounding muffled.
Yeah, better now. Is it better? Yeah. Varun, while I can understand you don't want to give the numbers separately for Aqualogica, Dermaco, etc., and I'm not asking for that, just want some kind of reassurance that Aqualogica is also performing sort of well and is in line with whatever targets that you had put in, or is it sort of falling short of them?
But it's on plan.
Okay, got it. That's all from me. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Vidisha Sheth from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. A couple of questions have been answered. Just one more in case of Mamaearth. So we've spoken on product superiority and sharpened investments driving back growth from mid-teens. But to understand the impact from these interventions, is it also possible to share any further color on as to how has the cohort retention or repeat rates or say productivity at distributor level changed for whichever channel available?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you see this kind of growth which is happening across channels, and and it's not just happening in primaries, but in offtakes in modern trade, in AC Nielsen captured share, in secondaries in general trade, across e-commerce. And, it just points to the overall consumer franchise becoming stronger for the brand. Right? I don't think we're at this size and scale, we're looking at numbers like, you know, repeat rate or cohort, etc., because that becomes too small. And at young PMF level, it makes sense to sort of do that. Right? Overall, brand love, affinity, consumer feedback data, NPS, and, everything is moving in the positive direction. Our spawn Tom and, on the brands and, is also moving in the positive direction. So all of that is put together, making us feel confident that the actions that we have taken and which we continue to apply on the brand and, are in the right direction.
So, and the second bit was in continuation with, to the earlier participant's question on the other brands. So, do you think that there are further interventions in terms of either innovation or brand repositioning which are required for upcoming brands like Aqualogica, Dr. Sheth or V-Brand?
So, honestly, every 3 to 4 years, right, we look at our brands, right, and we re-look at the positioning from the future TG perspective. And, We've done that on Mamaearth twice now in terms of packaging and communication relaunch. And we have done that on Dermacool once already in its life of 6 years. And similarly, Aqualogica, actually, you know, we've already done a lot of work, right, to make it more appealing to Gen Z and Gen Alpha. And there is a new refresh, which is coming up in the summer season. And, similarly, Dr. Sheth will also see that journey. I mean, honestly, that's a continuous exercise that we will do on our brands to make them more relevant and exciting to the new generation. So I think you know, you would see continuous action across brands for us.
Sure. Got it. Thanks, sir. That's all for now.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, would like to remind participants to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone. Next question is from the line of Nihal Mahesh Shyam from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yes.
Nihal?
Hi, Varun. Hi, am I audible?
Yes, can you speak a bit louder, please?
Hello.
Yes, Nihal, please go ahead. Nihal, we can't hear you.
I'll just come back. There is an issue.
Thank you. We can hear you now. Please go ahead.
Sorry for that. Hi, Varun. But my first question was just, again, asking on the margin bit. I do understand you mentioned about three levers of optimization. And on the advertising bit, it is absolutely clear in terms of the focus playbook that you've been mentioning. Just if you could just dive down on the other expenses, but just for an understanding perspective, that what are the initiatives you are taking? And also on the gross margin side, I'm not sure if I've adjusted for, you know, the reporting change of last year, but I do see that this quarter there has been a bit of a contraction. If Raman could just highlight that, what is maybe the reason why the gross margins have adjusted and what are the initiatives you're taking on the X of advertising side to keep margins improving?
Yeah, so actually, if you look at like on a like for like basis, our gross margin is year on year flat, and I think this is in line with our gross margin guidance that, you know, we will continue to sort of look at 70% and 70% plus range. And of course, there are other factors in gross margin, which is category mix, seasonal category mix, brand mixes, and of course, you know, so that's one piece on the gross margin side. I think on to your other question on other expenses, I think largely other expenses are broken in two parts. One is large part of it is our supply chain distribution expenses. And then there are, of course, typical fixed overheads, admin, and infrastructure related expenses. Right. So when we see our other expenses as a percentage are improving, there are two levers there. One, of course, given the scale of the business, sequentially and year on year has increased, I think that's leading to leverage in our fixed overheads. And of course, as we become larger, you know, and also as certain channels like B2B offline channels become larger, our you know, supply chain mix is also improving. That's also leading to better other expense as a percentage. So I think those are the two large levers. And as we, as Varun mentioned, as we continue to sort of scale, I think we continue to drive some efficiencies across some of these levers.
Got that. And this improvement of 100 bips that you are targeting, most of it will be driven by the optimization and advertising spend. Is that the better way to think about it, or just other comments around it?
Well, actually, it's a mix, right? I mean, some years it might be skewed towards NP, another year it might be skewed towards OPEX. Right? But the combination of that, you know, should help us achieve the goals that we have set for ourselves.
Got that. One of my last question was that over the course of the last few months with the two acquisitions that you've done, potentially we are now having a business which has eight brands. I know there is a big skew of how much Mamaearth and Dermaco contribute. But just as an organization, somewhere, you know, the thought would also come in that how do you then give the focus to each of these brands so that they all scale up? There is obviously a discussion happening about how the brands X of Mamaearth and Derma also scaling up. But how do then we keep our focus we see to it that, you know, all these brands get the right element of growth, and given the fact that even Mamaearth at this point in time is in the midst of a transition where you're more or less done with the offline strategy, but still there is an effort that is required to get that in place. So how are we sort of aligning to get the focus right, given we now have such a wide portfolio of brands already in place?
No, I think we would want to keep our goal, you know, in front of us and, you know, make sure that we construct and structure the organization to achieve that goal, you know, rather than, you know, keeping our current situation in place and set our goals accordingly. So I think that's our thinking. And in line with that, if we want to make sure we reach our long-term goals of becoming the largest and the most loved BPC FMCG in India, and we will need to make sure every category, every proposition, and we have a brand that's actually a market leader, and to get to that, whatever organization structure will help us serve that is what we will build, and which is where there is separate ownership of each brand, right, of each channel, you know, which exists within the company, and where someone is losing their sleep over their own, you know, part and partitions. And that's what we would like to sort of, you know, fix on, because our long-term goals are pretty hefty, and we wouldn't want to shortchange them based on where we are.
So, Varun, that helps. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Prateek from Bandhan AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I have three questions. One is, just on Mamaearth, could you confirm that the 10% growth is also coming from, let's say, the same distributors also growing, and it's and it's and the penetration-led growth is an addition to that. Is that a fair understanding?
Yes, actually, I mean, 90% plus of the growth is from all current distributors only. It is not because of new distributor appointment. It is all on the back of the top 100 cities where we have our distributors in place, especially in GT. And then, of course, in modern trade, it is on account of the same large customers like Reliance, DMart, Apollo, which continue to exist, right? And we're gaining share within those customers. And same is with e-com, actually. It's not in new channels, the same customers which have existed.
That's all repeats, right, Varun? That's a fair understanding, right? Most of it, 90% of it is repeat.
Repeats in the sense that, you know, I wouldn't say, like, I mean, we are, of course, getting new consumers to buy us.
I meant, yeah. Okay. The second question was, look, on a sequential basis, the employee cost, although you talked about employee cost being a leverage item, on a sequential basis and maybe short term, employee cost has risen very sharply. Any one-offs to call out for, or that's the steady state run rate?
Yeah, hi, everything. I'm on the side. So I think, you know, it's higher sequentially, primarily because you've actually had to do a ESOP provisioning. And it's basically, you know, there is a larger leadership ESOP pool, you know, and there's a certain milestones aligned. And we had to prepone a milestone this year, and the allocation of that is actually hit us in H2. Rather than H1, given the visibility of a certain milestone internally. So that's why it's showing on the higher side. It'll be similar, broadly similar in H2, and then, of course, after that, it'll move back to the normal levels.
So the entire delta is coming from ESOP cost, is it? A lot
probably
of
about close to 100.
No, entire delta. It says some part of it is because of the ESOP cost, some part of it, again, because of the better-than-planned performance of the variable. Enhanced variable also that we you know, see happening because people have done better. We could see the visibility of that only towards now. So we've taken that in Q3 and Q4.
And last question, if I see your focus brands, they've grown at 25%, whereas overall sales have been slightly lower, right? What's the share of non-focus categories, sorry, not brands, non-focus categories now as a percentage of sales?
It's still at 25% for the company.
So 75% is focus categories and 25% is non-focus categories.
So despite being non-focused, it looks like they're still maintaining pace with the overall growth, is it? That's why the share is not moving a lot.
In the sense, it has gone up from a contribution perspective. But yes, the non-focused categories are growing much slower relatively and compared to the focus categories, right? And we see that to be the phenomena. The contribution over the year has come down by 500 basis points for the non-focus categories, which is something that we expect every year to potentially.
Got. And in the next 2-3 years, does this become quite immaterial for the company in the sense, is it a fair understanding that in the next 3 years, focus categories kind of become like 90-95% of the business?
I mean, honestly, with the current pace of contribution increase, we expect it to get to about 85-87% over the next 3 years.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Even within focus categories, hero SKU contribution continues to increase, so which is also healthy.
Yeah, that's good. Thanks, man. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone. The next question is from the line of Sukrit D. Patil from Eyesight Fintrade. Please go ahead.
Good evening to the team. I have two questions. My first question to Mr. Varun is, as Honasa continues to expand across categories and geographies, what will be the key priorities under your long-term and short-term goals? How do you see the balance between scaling new brands, deepening distribution, and sustaining profitability evolving over the next few quarters? That's my first question. I'll ask my second question after this. Thank you.
I think you know you've just elucidated on my business plan, right? Those are the three priorities that we continue to have, right? Which is continue to make sure our core Mamaearth grows in double digit, continue to make sure our young brands deliver market leading performance and build new categories, right? Which can be future engines of growth for them, continue to make sure our distribution, be it online or offline, excellent and builds base for our brands to grow. I think we will need to balance all three together to make sure that growth and profitability both fall in line for the company. And we're quite confident in our team's ability to do so.
My second question to Mr. Sohi is, as the company plans forward, what financial guardrails will guide your decision on cost discipline, capital allocation, and margin protection? How will these particular set of guidance influence the long-term and short-term earning stability and create shareholder value? I want to understand your plan of action on this particular thing. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. I think, like Varun mentioned, I think the focus is to ensure that we continue to deliver market-beating growth. And given our gross margin profile that we have, as we continue to scale the business, improve our distribution metrics, and deliver that, I think every year we will continue to unlock certain margins in the business, which you spoke about. I think our endeavor is to unlock at least 100 bps every year, with a mix of both A&P and overheads. I think that will ensure that we continue to improve and deliver the right value to our stakeholders and deliver the right profit growth as we sort of move along in building this business.
Thank you and best wishes.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Akshay Krishnan from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi team, good performance and great set of numbers. So I just wanted to understand on the competitive intensity. So over the last 2-3 years, we've been seeing that the science-led and the active-based positioning as becoming more of a mainstream among the peers and the large FMCG peers. So as you scale deeper into an offline and become more an omni-channel brand, how do you see the competitive game shifting on an agility-led disruption to scale and a distribution-led competition? So I just want to understand, how is your strategy evolving in this context?
I'm so sorry. I did not understand the question completely.
I just wanted to understand, like, you've been, now you're scaling more into an offline, and I just want to understand how the competitive intensity is shifting on the agility-led distribution to scale and the distribution-led competition. So what's your strategy on this context on this?
So I think firstly, our offline and online both continue to grow strongly and deliver 20% plus growth for us. So it's not one or the other, but both are channels that we want to win in. In one case, which is online, we're strong. We need to continue to hold and gain shares in that. In another case, there is opportunity to just build distribution and be present in more outlets, which we are doubling down on. And hence, we are largely looking at the opportunity and not the challenges as much. Because the opportunity seems to be so big that, you know, that's what energizes and excites us.
Because I just wanted to double-click on this, because you have this early mover advantage, and is it more towards on a margin or a volume profile? So that's why I just wanted to double click on this.
No, of course, you know, in general, as a system, our margins are better than the legacy competition, and our pull is better than, the younger D2C brands. And I think that combination is helping us grow fast and gain share in offline, both general trade and modern trade, and we will continue to use that to our advantage to deliver competitive growth.
Perfect. And second thing is on the other brands. Now with Mamaearth also stabilizing and Dermaco also scaling up strongly, the younger brands are growing up and with new initiatives like the Prestige and Oral Beauty. Now, how are you internally prioritizing the capital and the management bandwidth to ensure that the focus doesn't get diluted across much and you have the growth levers of the engine coming up?
Well, I think firstly, it's important to structure yourself right, where there are clear accountabilities, and that's an area where we continue to work on. Every year we have new learnings around how can we structure better to give focus and impetus to our areas of growth. So management bandwidth actually goes firstly into the right organization design. Because if you can design right and put the right people into that design, then you know the design takes care of the outcome. And that is what we spend a lot of our management bandwidth on. Investment allocation is more based on the chessboard. There are years where there might be tailwinds in a certain category or a certain type of proposition or a brand, and where you would want to use those tailwinds and gain disproportionately. So that's the decision that you would take. So that depends more on some of those externalities as well, and based on which we take active decisions on allocation.
Okay. And one final, if I can squeeze in. So now with Mamaearth expanding deeper into the GT and also the chemist channel, how do you preserve the brand premium? So while you scale up, on a long-term perspective, do you intend to be a mass-penetrated brand or structurally move up on the value chain? So I just wanted to understand the unit economics into this.
So we've maintained and will continue to maintain brand premium versus mass brands. Right? That brand premium is visible in the PTML of our pricing in the market. Right? It is also visible in the fact that we do not participate in the FMCG defined LUP spaces, right, which is the less than 20 rupee price point kind of spaces. Right? Access into Mamaearth really starts from 100 rupee onwards, right? Which is why there is that aspirationality maintained. Right? It might limit the expansion opportunity that we'll have from a gross generated perspective, but our long-term view is that premiumization is going to be a mega trend in the country, and brands which are able to hold aspiration will be able to gain much better share in the long term.
Perfect. And good luck and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Jay Prakash from Axela Advisory Services LLP. Please go ahead.
Hello. Congratulations on the good set of numbers. So I wanted to understand, in increasingly competitive categories like sunscreen, some brands rely on indirect or ecosystem-driven narratives rather than direct branded communication. How does the company ensure that any extended marketing ecosystem agencies, affiliates, or influencers operates within a defined compliance and reputational risk frameworks?
I think there are clear guidelines, briefs, and, which are in line with the ASCII guidelines, and that at least our company works on, and, whereby every brief that we issue has clear guidelines which are provided. Everyone who we work with is aware of those guidelines, and we haven't been flagged by the agency also on any such violations. So I think the content that we are at least doing must be in line with those guidelines, which is why we not go, right? And we continue to absolutely follow language.
Okay. So there are oversight mechanisms within the company to monitor that, right?
Absolutely.
Another question. Can you break down what percentage of sunscreen growth is organic versus repeat, organic repeat versus influencer driven first time conversion?
We don't track that.
Okay. So HUL is acquiring new age companies like Oziva and Minimalist. So does that pose a threat for the business going forward?
On their business or our business?
On your business, as those traditional businesses are modernizing very rapidly and they have all the guns out there to play it right.
No, I honestly, we have always had competitive threat in the past as well. We were born in a category where there were much large competitors than ours when we launched Mamaearth, and hence, competition is not new to us, right? But we have always also taken a stand that it doesn't sort of, give you any joy or delta by focusing on competition, right? The real value gets created when you focus on the consumer, right? And where the consumer is moving in terms of their preferences, be it product preferences, be it communication preferences, be it media preferences or distribution preferences, right? And I think for us, that's been a core focus area, and I think we will continue to focus on that, and we'll rely on the fact that if we focus on that, consumers will reward us with choosing our brands.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand over the call to the management for closing comments. Over to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for asking these questions. And it's always refreshing to hear you. And we continue to, as a team, execute our strategies to the hill. We are very confident in, that we will continue to delight you as we get into this year as well. And, thank you so much.
Thank you. On behalf of JM Financial Institutional Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.